listening to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the DC Public Library on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Victor Benitez, a DC Public Library Labs Librarian at the Shaw Neighborhood Library. On today's DCPL Presents, I'm joined by a fellow DC Public Library Librarian, Megan McKnight.
Hey, how are you, Victor? It's McKnight, by the way. McKnight. No big deal. I'm not going to sue you or anything.
Okay. Thanks, Megan. And we also have here today a few local poets and writers. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Thanks.
Well, Megan, do you want to tell us what we have lined up for today?
Sure. We have this group of young poets here who competed in slams at Busboys and Poets, and they wrote original poetry about social justice. This is actually part of the DCPL's celebration of the Civil Rights Movement. It's the 50th anniversary, and we've been working with the Maryland Institute College of Art in Baltimore to, like, revisit it and celebrate it and hopefully reawaken the spirit. So
I'm very excited to hear all these poems. I wasn't at that slam, but yeah, we should get started.
To make a quick announcement, we actually do have another slam coming up on August 9th. It's at the Busboys and Poets on 14th and V at 8 p.m.
Great.
Yeah. So first up, we have Shayla Brené. Shayla, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So Shayla, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, like job interview? No, I'm just joking. Like, how old are you? Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
I'm 21. Mm-hmm. I'm from Southeast D.C.
Southeast D.C.
I was actually born in Prince George's County Hospital.
Okay.
But I've lived my whole life in Southeast D.C.
Awesome. And you've been writing poetry for a while, right? Or
yes. I started writing poetry when I was 10.
Okay. Awesome. So I'm really excited about your piece. So whenever you're ready, just go ahead.
All right. This piece is called Hashtag. I've become accustomed to taking a backseat to the revolution. Because Black Lives Matter views Black women as an afterthought, as if I don't deal with the same oppression as you, as if I don't deal with the same hatred from you. Black boys with jeweled smiles and crooked crowns are always at the wrong place at the wrong time. But Black girls with banging bodies are always Bangkoked into baby boomers or silenced when stilettos start skipping past alleyways. And it's so exhausting to constantly hold up a kingdom that thinks it can be run without you. Sick of being queen to a king who only views me as trophy, as showgirl, as something to bring out when company comes. Like, how dare you act like I don't deserve a seat at the table when I birth the ones who will sit around it and prepare the meals their bodies will feast on. And what is my body if not a feast? Nourishment for anything other than myself. And I've been so busy keeping tabs on all the little Black boys, I didn't even notice the pieces of myself being bought and sold for ransom. Black boys don't care when I go missing. Can't stomach the strength to say my name. Say it doesn't crumble easily enough between their teeth. Not as easy to swallow as a Kardashian, but I'm the first one at all the rallies. Write all the poems for all the fallen ones, comfort the mamas and the babies that just lost their fathers, scrape the blood off the ground after the bodies are no longer being bombed, and it hurts to think that one day I'll be blessed enough to birth a boy who will erase my name from his history book. Like his story didn't come from her story. Like I wasn't in the streets marching and ranting and fighting for his life, so that he'd never have to feel like an afterthought. So I'm sick and tired of being the backbone to a man or America that doesn't have the balls to stand on its own two feet. So the Black boys across the country, believe me when I say that I will always, always have love for you. But when it comes down to a fight for equality and visibility, what's love got to do with it?
That's an amazing poem. I've heard you read it before, and it's just wow. So, can you tell me, like, what it's obviously about like women's rights, but like where did this come from when you wrote it? Like, what do you want to say about it?
So the poem came from a place of frustration. Mm-hmm. So when situations like the death of Renisha McBride, the disappearance of the little girl who was, she was stolen, mm-hmm. From, I think it was daycare or her school, and she was abducted. And, you know, the police didn't really do a search for her. Like, I think the search party only lasted for maybe a week, if that, and she's still missing. And, you know, we always hear about the black men and the black boys that are killed by police officers, mm-hmm. or that, you know, are killed in gang-related activities, but we never really hear about the black women and girls that go missing, that are raped, that are murdered, that are denied education. And I feel like we should definitely be talked about. We should be brought up in this conversation, especially because black women and women in general are usually at the front line of the revolution.
Awesome.
Shayla, thank you for sharing that piece with us.
Thank you for having me.
Megan, who do we have up next?
We have Portia. Thank you, Shayla. Thank you so much. So, Portia, welcome to the radio show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great that you're here. So tell me a little bit about yourself. I know you're in graduate school, right? But
oh, yeah. I'm doing a master's in public health at George Washington, to the best of my ability. I know everybody starts this with a hometown, but I was born and raised a military dependent. My mother was in the Air Force, so I don't have one of those.
Oh.
But I love D.C., and you know, I feel like most of the time it loves me back.
Great. So you're going to read. Why don't you, could you tell us like one thing about the piece you're going to read? And then,
yes. This piece is actually about mental health, which can be a hot topic issue in many minority communities, mine and others. We either demonize it or dismiss it,
mm-hmm.
and definitely don't say it, vocalize it, we tap dance around it.
Right.
And that's exactly the entire crux of this piece, is tap
okay.
dancing around a huge community
huge
issue.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Thank you. A selection of translations for studying. Going through the motions of reviewing the material without any of it penetrating my mental haze. Staring into space, being overwhelmed by everything. Really. Thinking about how much other work is due that I haven't even started yet. Worrying that the next grade will be the F that is the deciding moment that the whole thing fails irreversibly. Note, I have literally never gotten an F in my life. This is not my problem. Realizing that, quote, I'm studying is a guaranteed, unlimited pass on isolating and secluding myself to drown in my demons, and knowing that this is a bad and dangerous thing. Realizing that, quote, studying in answer to, so what are you doing? How was your weekend? What are your plans for? Did you enjoy? Is much more palatable than any version of drowning in lonely. Realizing that school gives me a de facto scapegoat for my constant, actually only very minorly school-related, depression. Calculating how much older than me whichever high-profile suicide in the news this week was. Just curious. Crafting tweets and posts to connect with the outside world, then deleting them because they too obviously broadcast my emotional turmoil. Panicking because I'm nearing deadline and the work isn't done. Berating myself for procrastinating again, even though I'm not sure that's what this is anymore. Trying to cheerlead and tough love myself out of this hole so I can get to work. Having marginal success at best. Thinking I'd rather be with any of my friends anywhere doing anything other than being stuck here. Acknowledging that I'm stuck here. Dozing from the mental fatigue and physical ennui of being stuck here. Maybe cry a little. Maybe don't. Not contacting anybody because I know that they are all busy doing more important things than me. Wondering how often, quote, I'm busy is actually their version of, quote, I'm studying. Wondering how often trading variations on I'm tired is as close as we come to telling each other that we are drowning. Not knowing the best way to intrude on the guaranteed unlimited busy pass and so not reaching out at all, hoping that they are still okay anyway. Snapping into a knife-edge focus at the very last second and getting an A on the test, paper, whatever, because I'm actually pretty academically inclined, don't need much time or prep, and it never really bothered me past being boring and tedious. Seriously, this is not my problem. Wondering how many times I'm going to successfully make my way out of these cycles. Convincing myself that if I left, people would notice and care that it would matter. Trying to figure out how my mind came to the personal conviction that when others have depression, they deserve compassion, patience, support, and all that other good positive stuff. But when I have it, I'm clearly being overdramatic, melodramatic, self-centered, selfish, vain, and all that other bad and negative stuff. Understanding that because no one would want to admit to all that bad and negative stuff, I don't say anything. Again. Accepting that reading this poem is likely the only time I will clearly and recognizably say, quote, "I have anxiety and depression," out loud.
Thank you, Portia. So you're a writer. Have you been writing poetry for a while?
I've been writing poetry for a very long while. And I have been performing for a very long while. But I have only been performing poetry for a little less than a year, actually. I didn't feel the need to cross the two.
So where else could we check you out?
Currently, I am a student at George Washington.
Okay, I see.
But when I have the time to get back to, I read around locally, but when I have time to put myself back out there, I will be happy to link up with you guys again.
Awesome. So next up, we have Bianca. Bianca, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So tell me about yourself. Like, where are you from? How old are you? How long have you been writing poetry?
So I'm from right outside Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm 21 years old. I'm going to be a senior in college next year. And I wouldn't necessarily say that I've been a poet for a long time. I write a lot, but it's mainly for myself. Mm-hmm. And it takes the form of like journal entries and diary entries mostly. And I've only very recently started to become comfortable with sharing it mm-hmm. aloud into a broader audience. And so I'm very, very lucky and I feel very happy to be here.
Great. Well, we're happy to have you here too. So why don't you go ahead?
Okay. So this poem is called "A Name is an Identity and My Claim to My Own." For about 5 years of my childhood, between 9 and 14 years old, I hated my Chinese name, which is also my middle name. I'd hide it behind my hand every time I'd have to write it down. You see, my name exists as Chinese characters, but on American paper, it's spelled in English letters, and it looks as foreign to me as it sounded to anyone who heard it. I'd silence teachers taking attendance as they stuttered it slowly, uncertainly. "Just Bianca is fine," I'd say, and hope that they'd move on to the next person. Because where I grew up, if you resembled me, you were either paused over or passed over. They say all waves in the ocean turn ivory when they break, and I too was trying to stay afloat in the white sea around me. At dinner with my family, I sometimes wondered if my chopsticks would snap under the weight of their food, and I too felt as fragile about my own identity. Because the first time I had Kraft macaroni and cheese was not from my own stovetop. Because the first time I learned about Christianity was when my classmate yelled at me on a Friday during Lent for eating a turkey sandwich. I just wanted to eat like them, to be like them. But why couldn't they understand me unless they translated me into their own language, just like they did with my name, giving it twice the length and half the meaning? But over time, I learned that the world is not like my hometown. That the world has green lakes and coral reefs. That chopsticks aren't weak, and they don't bend under pressure, and they don't break under the weight of anything they hold. For the past 5 years of my life, I've loved my Chinese name. My parents gave it to me based on a poem they liked. My Chinese name is Li Bingjia, and it describes a frozen pond surrounded by cattails and ferns. And wouldn't it be a shame if I couldn't say it with pride? Surely it's what I've earned. And wouldn't it be amazing if we were all understood in our own tongues from our own vantage points? But for now, I've learned to keep saying my name. And I won't hide it behind my hand, and I won't stop it from being heard anymore. Thanks.
Thank you. So you said your parents named you after a poem. Do you know that poem? Or
I'm familiar with it. It's an ancient Chinese poem, and a lot of ancient Chinese poems have a few characters, but those characters tend to hold a lot of meaning and describe things in really concise but really deep terms. So, yeah.
Well, thank you. Do you read your poetry at other venues in DC?
Actually, the open mic that I performed at a couple weeks ago is the first time I've ever performed my poetry or anything I've written out loud ever.
Oh, my goodness. Well, awesome. Well, I'm so glad you're doing it.
Yeah, I'm glad too. Thank you.
Thank you. So next up is Sony. Sony, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Tell me about yourself. Like, how old are you? Where are you from? Like, what What's going on?
Sure. So I'm a rising junior at Bucknell in Pennsylvania. I was born in Mississippi, and I now live outside Philadelphia, and I'm here in D.C. for the summer. So that's how I stumbled upon the D.C. Public Library open mic.
I see. And what are you doing in D.C. this summer?
Sure. So I'm interning at the Public Defender Service for D.C. along with Bianca, who you just heard. It's been quite a journey. So that's why I'm here.
Great. Great. Well, welcome. So you have poetry, so why don't you go ahead and get started?
Great. So this is untitled, but the way I have it titled on my paper is From the Basement of the Library on November 9, 2016, which was the day after the 2016 election. I want to fast forward to a future where a woman sits in the Oval Office and little girls don't only have to dream of being powerful. They don't have to envy the privileges that their male counterparts are handed and they have to fight for. I want to fast forward to a time where I don't know Muslims and black boys who are my age in fear for their safety when they walk past a police officer. I want to be in a world where Latinos and Latinas are embraced and accepted, a world where my girlfriends who choose to love other girls feel like they can live a normal life, one where my brown-skinned brother can walk the streets without fear of being stopped, a better world, one that will give love to all. It hurts me more than it helps me when she tells us to always achieve our dreams. I didn't think we still needed to be told. I thought it had finally turned into reality. Love trumps hate. Love trumps hate, right? Love trumps hate. But tell me, how did hate trump love? Welcome to my haunted house, a place with women who cry, Latinos who can't dance their dance, lovers who can't love, folks who have to mask their identity. Welcome to America.
Thank you, Sunny. So tell me, how did you come to write poetry? How long have you been writing?
So I really don't write consistently. I used to write a lot in high school, and then I had an English teacher who told me, never stop writing. Of course, as soon as I went to college, I stopped writing.
Oh, no.
So that's why this I wrote in a time where I was feeling really emotional, and it kind of just spewed out as a way to kind of put stuff down and not hold everything inside.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot to write about nowadays. I won't get into it on air, but I'm sure you know what
sure.
I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
So thanks for writing. And do you read at other venues in D.C.? Or
I don't. So at Bus Boys and Poets, that was my second time performing poetry live. So
okay, awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you came out.
Thank you so much.
All right. So next up, we have Jeffrey Walker. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great. I'm glad you're here. So tell me about yourself, like where you're from, like what's going on.
I'm from D.C., Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Been living in the area all my life, but also lived in Philadelphia for about 5 years.
Oh, awesome.
Just relocated back to D.C. I do a lot of youth development work, public speaking, and just a lot of things that engage youth and try to develop them. Change the trajectory of their life.
So, like, where are you working?
Well, I work for the Latin American Youth Center.
Oh, right, right.
And right now, currently, I work in Montgomery County.
Okay.
And I branch out there providing services for disconnected youth. I train them to mentor middle school students while they get their GED.
Cool. Do you do any, like, youth poetry stuff? Or?
Absolutely, absolutely. I just did a performance with Howard, at Howard Theater, mm-hmm. with D.C. Department of Behavioral Health.
Cool.
On children's mental health issues in May.
Oh, awesome.
And I just performed at Strathmore Mansion.
Oh, nice.
With Story Tapestries and Artivate and Arts on the Block.
Oh, that's amazing. So you have poetry for us today.
I sure do.
Awesome.
I sure do.
Okay, well, we're all ears.
I have this piece called Fear. Is the world ending in the way the past predicted? Or is that a metaphor meaning there's a new beginning? I sit around chilling, but am I really chilling? As I think about the world and look at all it's killing. On the television and with my own vision, the future can't be promised if we can't protect the children. From the violence and miseducation cause confusion. Disillusioned young youth, society's abusing. See, God, we need help, but are you even there? And if you are, why it seem like you don't even care? I take a look at the stars glare, I just stop and stare. If there's a heaven for my people, someone show me where. Showing love is rare. Hate is in the air. All this stressing with no blessings is too much to bear. Second guessing on the question, why am I here? It ain't death, but it's life that some people fear. Every day, I think about the same things. Why can't we change what the hood brings? Take the blame for things that we can change. No more mama's pain, no more tears of rain. Is the world crazy? Slim, I don't even know. But we could talk about this more. Come and close the door. They say the sun's light can cast a dark shadow. So on your brightest days, watch out for the devil. No one's life is promising to live tomorrow. Time has a limit. Spirits are only borrowed. We living life high, decide to take that high road. It's July, but the world is still ice cold. Drinking Fort Locos just to ease the pain. Taking in God's name under Jesus' veins. Every religion, they all preach the same thing. To be peaceful, stay true, and to maintain. Treat others equal, but somewhere the vision changed. Your own people to get you quicker than the rival gang. Me and Obama vision different when he's talking change. I'm trying to see the people free of being mental slaves. They done let go the chains, but we still enslaved. Cause we gotta work hard for minimum wage. I'm enraged, a lion coming out his cage. But hold on, wait, before they say I misbehave. My hands are raised, but I'm taking shots to my rib cage. This is why we take a knee when that flag is praised. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. So could you tell me a little bit about the poem?
I wrote this poem in 2011, and it's funny that it's still relevant today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wrote that out of fear that a lot of people, especially minorities, especially males who look like me, who come from areas where I come from,
mm-hmm.
Who feel like they don't have an outlet, who are feeling entrapped in their situations. And like I said, some people fear life more than death because they don't know where their next meal is coming from or know how they're going to be persecuted by someone who's judging them just by how they look.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote that piece in relation to myself, but also to have a brighter ending into it as well.
How so?
Well, first, I feel like by understanding your situation,
mm-hmm.
and understanding how you impact your situations, that's the way that you can change it. So at the same token, we should take the blame for some of the things that we can change, how we treat each other, how we work for each other, how we respect each other, and how we build community. In order to get change, we have to change ourselves first. And so looking at some of the communities that I've been involved in, there's some things that we subject ourselves to in order to keep ourselves down. And so just taking accountability for the change that we want to see in our communities.
Awesome.
Yep.
So do you have any other poems you want to read on air? Or
I have another piece. I have a piece called The Essence of a Woman. I guess I'll go with that one.
All right. Sounds good.
She's so soothing. The elegant movement of a physical congruence. Please don't stop what you're doing. Her architectural foundation is a grand design. So there's a deeper meaning to her beauty like a mastermind. See, time has no place here for a woman's grace. Just to say that she's fine doesn't describe her face. Just to say that she's sweet doesn't describe her taste. So I say that she's unique to define her space. She stands alone in her own essence. Without a question, you can see depictions of perfection. It's dwelling deep within her being, but she's misdirected. So she do things to fit in and yearns to feel connected. A woman's life can be so hectic, and usually it's a man who done came and wrecked it. Find a real man, that's the real message. Someone that can stroke your heart, not your midsection. In a man's world, girl, you gonna need protection. Where you gotta bare your skin to avoid neglection. Women, please be smart, hold on to your essence.
Thank you, Jeff. No problem. And where can we catch up with you if we wanna see you read some more poems?
You can catch up with me on my Instagram at Jeff_Walker11. That's JEFF_WALKER11.
Awesome. Well, thanks for reading with us today.
No problem. Thank you.
So next up, we have Tyler.
How you doing today, Queen?
Doing good. And you also go by Influence, right?
Yes, ma'am. Tyler the Influence.
So could you tell me about that and like where you're from and stuff?
I'm from Baltimore City in Maryland. I won't get too deep into which location, because okay. Most people probably don't know, but I'm from Cherry Hill, Maryland.
Okay, cool. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, and you write poetry, you write songs, like what's going on?
I write poetry. I also curate events. I'm actually going to have an event this December in Baltimore, Maryland that I'm putting together now, and I'm mm-hmm. also in the process of writing a book as well.
Awesome. So what's the event that you're putting together?
It is a bit of a play through a poetic version of, the name of the play is going to be called The Memoirs of a Secret Lover.
Memoirs of a Secret Lover. So mm-hmm. this is like...
It's a five-part show.
Five-part show. And like, are you auditioning people? Are you have your people lined up or what?
It's sort of right now, I'm still figuring out who I want to have involved in it. I do have several people. Actually, Talia, who you'll hear from in a little bit, she will be one of the pieces. Of the people involved in the pieces. But I have about seven more slots that I'm looking for people who are truly interested in getting their names out there.
Okay. And if people are truly interested, how should they get a hold of you?
My Instagram, Tyler Their Influence. Mm-hmm. It literally sounds exactly the way. It's spelled the exact same way it sounds, without the I.
Okay, cool. And so you have some poems for us today?
I do, as many as you want.
All right, so why don't you go ahead and get started?
Okay, so the first piece is called Antoine Rose. It's about the gentleman who was gunned down not too long ago by the police officer who was recently, he just graduated from the police academy.
Okay.
The soil we stand on in celebration of today is stained with the pink flesh of our ancestors' will. With everything being said and done because of a bill, didn't mean the boulders we had on our shoulders were any less heavy. Red, white, and blue are the same combination you mix to get pussy. I'm sorry, I should say Trump. Always slurring his words, running through a line backed by his safeties, destroying our environment so there's no more forests. With his hair in half and his hair cap leaning back, saying all his riffraff, trying to build your empire while separating families over the border, even under fire. Great job. I guess that's why your staff is all full of new hires. So we just have to keep trying to tell you, right now we're at the umpteenth. You've got bombs, here's one. When you don't acknowledge that we were still slaves until Juneteenth, I've seen the rapes have increased as the polls have decreased while we slave for recognition to prophesize our growth. We are held down as you pretend to rectify our demise as a whole, but my paycheck is only half of Jim's. Yet I'm man enough to get shot down as an accomplice for telling you there's about to be a mass murder and you saw my skin and assumed it was me. Ted slaughtered your family as a video game and tasers were pulled to give him fame while I rot in an alley for recording what he said because you thought I had a gun instead. Well, he's out on parole at my funeral telling my family that I shouldn't have snitched. Probably would have lived longer until his partner was sworn in from the academy to later catch a body 2 hours after his graduation. I could have become a pop artist who stands on two legs, arms in the air, and that's called a wheelie. Make meals and still have a judge deny me my right to bail me out of my own free will because their bill only constitutes white. Whereas a police officer can go free even though Article 14 states that a man accused of a life sentence has to sit in jail. But I was sentenced to Negro when I came out the womb. Looked around the room and knew I was doomed because all they saw was less than suitable. So how many times must we take back shots when we call out uncle because we can breathe no more? The falsifications where we must rewrite our emancipation detonation of lies. But hey, happy 4th of July. Thank you.
Thank you. So could you tell me a little bit more about this poem?
Yes. So as a young African-American man growing up in, I wouldn't necessarily just say poverty, just an area where mm-hmm. you had to fight for what you want.
Right.
Unfortunately, we see people constantly killed by our own kind. Unfortunately, police officers, like I said, Antoine mm-hmm. Rose was a gentleman. He was 17. He would have been 18 on July 17th of this past month. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, his life was taken by a police officer who was just sworn into the academy. Literally, I believe 30 minutes after he was sworn into the academy, he killed the young man.
Oh, my God.
So... And it goes out to police brutality. And I never say all police officers are bad. I know good, sure. I know bad. Sure. But unfortunately, right now, we're in an area where not only do we fight each other, but we fight the people who are supposed to protect us as well.
Right.
So that was that piece. I mean, I have thousands.
Well, good. Could you share another poem with us?
Absolutely. I will share the piece that starts off my book.
Great.
So this piece is actually, like, it's the title of it is Memoirs of a Secret Lover. I be that king that bring home, that you bring home, and your parents question your previous ethics. Comparing every man that came prior to me is disrespectful to my credit while choosing you when I had first dibs like recess. My qualities laid on this table don't qualify me as a second or third pick, see? what do I look like repping B's and C's? But she also has to know that I'm a package deal, so my princess has to fall in love too. If so, the D comes later. The love I want to share requires more than half potential. I can't give you what's mine and put my daughter in someone's world if you can't even dip your foot into the water. If your excuse is you don't want to get your hair wet, I got everything we need at the crib. God has touched these hands, so penmanship cursive ain't the only finger waves he's blessed me with. He equipped me with every solution to any problem that is brought my way. Even gave the vision of discernment, because this sermon ain't to preach but to tell you to know your worth and to work hard and earn, man. Know the qualifications of a king that if she left you, she couldn't level up, because I'm it. Not cocky, but there's a book about what happened when you lose sight of me. Don't you want it? Your jealousy stems from other people and their islands, but not mine. My jealousy is the lack of time. I'll catch the bus just to come give you flowers at your job, knowing I'll only be able to spend 5 minutes with you. Imagine what I could do if I had 20, 15, even 10 moments giving you what you deserve. I would bless your spirits with so much love that if your coworkers didn't ask why there's tears coming down your face, I did something wrong. Get us a hotel in the most beautiful city and come back with no pictures as evidence of how the room looks since we never left. By the time we get back to the real world, you have a decision to make. Now the only obstacle is the telling my best friend since I was his best man at your wedding.
Thank you so much, Tyler.
Thank you. Thank
All
you.
Right. So your influence, Tyler the Influence?
Tyler the Influence, TylerTheEnfluence.
Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Tylea, also from Baltimore. Welcome.
Oh, hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little bit of a hybrid. I'm from, or I was born in Baltimore, but I was raised in California.
Oh my gosh.
I came back to Baltimore.
All right. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
And we're glad to have you on the show today. Have you been writing poetry a long time? Or
I haven't been, well, kind of a sense of poetry. I've written music in high school growing up. I've wrote a lot of music, but more so recently I've been doing poetry, spoken word.
Great. And you have poetry to share with us today.
I do. The piece I will be sharing is called Look in the Mirror. They said being a black woman was hard. Carries the world on her back with a smile on her face and no trace of sorrow. Giving every bit of her strength to make sure she doesn't look weak. Breaking her back so everyone eats. All the cliches of a brown-skinned woman's pain who I felt detached from. Couldn't relate to the warning signs of life's outcomes. So oblivious and surrounded by my own thoughts. Shit that never mattered anyway. Filling voids with things I could have kept sacred. Painting faces so you couldn't see me hide. Now I'm asking God why. Bringing me to deeper understandings of who this person is that everyone sees but me. Once unrelatable is so apparent now. Invisible whips, chains, scars society has made me slave to. I was looking for something to hold on to. A facade, only put on for me as these lashes cut deep. Lies don't last forever. But you tell me to speak when all you have done is silenced me. Crucified my mind to believe in the abuse I was used to. My brown skin, coiled hair, and wet tears is the blueprint of my existence. Shackles made up of pain, fear, confusion, loss, translations and hope which choke me when I look at what our people have become. Unity seems untouchable as hatred has captivated our minds and paved the ways for our faults. Descended from royalty, brown kings and queens' crowns have fallen with no sense of direction for those who follow behind them. Instead, we idolize false prophets that we think hold meaning, trade our value for approval which we considered a small price to pay. Lost true power to our origins, since to them the color of my skin must be erased. Your grip tightens when you feel my lips move, as there is so much to say, yet no ears to hear them. Why am I silenced? Why do I cry? Why can't I speak? Please, tell me. Thank you.
Thank you. So are you on Instagram or anything like that?
I am. You can follow me at Tylea Jerry. That's TyleaGere.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, next up we have Brandon. Welcome.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm all right.
And Brandon, you're a native Washingtonian, right? Or?
Yes, born and raised.
Born and raised. Yeah. So awesome. It's so good to have you on the show today. Have you been writing poetry a while, I take it? Or?
Yes. So I wrote a rap when I was 12 for a project.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never stopped.
Never stopped. Well, that's good.
And it kind of like poetry and rap kind of fused together.
Yeah, they sure do.
It really fluctuates. But it's awesome. Yeah, that's where I live.
All right. So you have a piece for us today.
Yes. So this one, I saw a picture of a Klansman with dreadlocks,
mm-hmm.
and this was my response to it. I saw a Klansman with dreadlocks once. It baffles me how loud the secret white obsession with blackness is. The love vibrates insidiously through the red edges of the Confederate flag. Does it make you blue to be so star-crossed that you have to hate me in public? The same place where you wear my culture, the same place where you hang our heads like game, except the mantle looks like CNN, Fox, Facebook, Twitter, hashtags littered over where those ghosts came from because of triggers pulled by Klansmen playing dress up as police officers, politicians, neighborhood watchmen, civilians who don't like loud music. These aren't ordinary people, yet they are. I've never rode in the Mystery Machine, but I know that monsters hide behind masks because they're scared too. We're all just follicles wrapped up in ourselves, hanging from our roots like dreadlocks.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, my pleasure. If we want to follow you on Instagram or catch up with you on social media, where can we find you?
I'm on Instagram, DougLife202, DouGLife202. And that's actually a code that I kind of am trying to live by. It's in a very basic sense is everybody has the capacity to be great.
Sure.
And why not do that? And we don't have to be great at the expense of other people. We can all be great together and live in a great place.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, for sure.
And finally, we have Miranda. Welcome, Miranda.
Hi, good to be here.
Glad you're here. Tell me about yourself. Where are you from? How long you been writing poetry? So on.
So I'm from Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. and PG, I kind of fluctuate between the two. But let's see. I started writing poetry when I was very small. I had the blessing of becoming literate by the age of like 3 or 4.
Wow.
So I kind of just always used words to kind of, I guess, explain the world around me, understand it.
Great.
So,
and you have poetry for us today.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
All right. Well, go ahead and get started.
Dear life, please don't eat my friends. I implore you, look past the weed smoke. You see, it's not that they're bad people. It's just... this hot box is the only vehicle they can find to escape the horrors of home life, so it's only natural that they want to take it higher. Dear life, my best friend speeds. Every time he drives, I think it's because he's always running away from something. Or maybe it's because at midnight at 130 miles per hour, asphalt and headlights resemble the heavens he so desperately wants to reach, and that's why he calls himself Spaceman. So please, bless him with open roads instead of speeding tickets. Dear life. Maybe robo-tripping has turned him into a robot, but I still remember the boy he was with me, and I still see the man that he could be, so calm your cruelty when he's sober. That way, he'd want to feel his face every now and again. Dear life, there are fireballs in his irises. So don't extinguish the flames as you piss on his parade. I know he'd tell you this himself, but he has never been good with words. See, he is a sculptor. In 1,000 verses, he could still tell you better with his hands than I ever could, so let him, dear life. I got a B in AP biology my sophomore year, and yet I still can't explain the way he's turned his heart into a fuse box, his wires ripped raw from misuse and abuse of his circuitry, his chest cavity remembers electrocution jumper cable nightmares, so life, if you would be so kind, bless him with open heart surgery. And if you can't find a donor, he can have mine. Maybe it's not in the best shape, but it still beats like a war song, and it still loves like it's never been broken. Dear life, someone once told me, I think that we are like stars. Something happens to burst us open, and when we burst open, we think we are dying, but we're actually turning into a supernova. And then, when we look at ourselves, We see we are suddenly more beautiful than we have ever been before. So life, if this is all too much to ask, then grant them redemption in the breakdown. Give them enough passion to keep going, even when their hearts are broken. I implore you. It's not that they're bad people. They're just hurt. And you, of all people, should know what that's like.
Thank you, Miranda. And do you have social media we can follow you on, or how can we follow you or catch up with you?
Yeah, definitely. So I believe on all of my social media, I'm Mononoke Fairy. That's Mononoke, and then Fairy.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, Miranda, thanks again. Okay. And Megan, you did it.
All right. We did it. All right, I got it.
Yeah, we were nervous about this show because we have 10, 12 people here in the radio, so lots of moving parts.
Yes.
But it was a success.
Yes.
Everyone's been really great. Megan, thanks again for organizing this show.
And we'll be back later in August, so come check us out at Bus Boys and Poets, Thursday, August 8th at... that's August 9th, excuse me, 8 p.m. August 9th at 8 p.m., Bus Boys and Poets, 14th and V. So if you write poetry, if you're a poet out there listening, come share. It could be a rap, it could be a song, it could be whatever. Just anything about social justice, past, present. And people say social justice isn't the civil rights movement, isn't it like ancient history? But it's not. It could be like environmental justice. Like we're talking about healthcare. We're talking about like mass incarceration and, you know, anything and everything, civil rights, human rights. So come out and join us.
Yeah, join us. And before we end, I want to thank all the young talent and for their beautiful work here. Their names were Shayla, Portia, Bianca, Sony, Jeff, Tyler, Talia, Brandon, and Miranda.
Yes, and thanks everybody.
Yeah, thank you. And this has been an episode of DCPL Presents on Full Service Radio, broadcasted live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. For more information on the D.C. Public Library, visit your nearest neighborhood library or online at www.dclibrary.org. And follow us on Instagram at DC Public Library and Twitter at DCPL. Download the show wherever you get your podcast by searching for DCPL Radio or Full Service Radio. Thanks again, and until next time.
Thank you for listening.